Hello, everybody. I'd like to read Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 11. First, I'm going to read the Bisaya language dialect, one of the most famous languages or dialect in the Philippines. Out of 70 or 80 dialects in the Philippines. But the most for us. We're biased, Pastor Dad, sorry. Tagalog? Oh, yeah, it's a different dialect. Sorry, but may I please invite everyone to stand while we read the word of the Lord found in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 11. Ecclesiastes kapitulo 3, versikulo 11. Gihimo niya nga matahom ang tanang butang sa panahon niini. Gibutang usab niya ang pagsabot sa nangagi ug sa umaabot diha sa sulod sa ilang kasing-kasing. Apan bisan pa ni ana, dili siya makatungkad sa buhat nga nahimo sa Dios gikan sa sinugdanan hangtod sa katapusan. Ecclesiastes chapter 3:11 and NKJV. He has made everything beautiful in its time. Also, he has put eternity in their hearts, except that no one can find out the work that God does from beginning to end. God bless the reading of his word.
Thank you, Chin. God bless you. So good. Let's remain standing a moment while I pray. Oh, sorry, we're kind of getting out of order here, but that's all right. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for your word. The Lord is quick and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit of both joints and marrow, and able to discern the thoughts and intentions of our hearts. And so we pray that your word, Father, the word within the word, will pierce our hearts, Lord, Lord, for good. Lord, that we might become more discerning of what is of you and what is not, and Lord, that we might be better equipped to be your people in this day. Holy Spirit, bless each one through the word. We pray together and agree together in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. It's a great portion of Scripture, isn't it? I'm sure Jamie's used this in weddings. We've all used it in weddings. The threefold cord from Ecclesiastes and all of this sort of thing, and we've preached on it many times. He has made all things beautiful. Yeah? All things. The things that seem to be great, the things that didn't go so well. Eventually, God will see to it that all things are made beautiful in His time. Wave at me if you're an impatient person. There you go, you see. Lord, grant me more patience and do it immediately. In His time. I have to ease my way into my message. I've got to watch the time too, because my introductions usually take up all my time. Time is an amazing thing. We have clocks, watches, and in the old language of English, we call them a chronograph. Chronology is the passage of time. The measure of a passage of time. The strange thing about time is that there's a limited amount of it. God has created time. It doesn't exist in eternity. God does not exist within time. He transcends time. And yet we make so much of our clocks. And I like being on time. I'm an on-time person. I was brought up that way, to be on time. If it's an interview, be 1 minute early, but not 5 minutes late, that's for sure. I live my life that way. I try to. But sometimes it can become, we're so worried about time, we forget that there's something bigger than all of this. We want things to happen now. We want things to happen in our time. Our time, our chronology, our age. We get older, go gray, lose hair. And we worry that we're worrying, running out of time. And so this is a simple message with one illustration. You'll be wondering what the butterfly is doing there. What sort of butterfly is this? What's it called? A monarch butterfly. Quite a beautiful butterfly, isn't it? The colors are very, very beautiful. So you'll find out shortly why the monarch butterfly is on my... I'm not getting New Age or anything, is there for a reason. He has made everything beautiful in its time. Just because I won't make a lot of it, when you look at the New Testament, there's two Greek words mostly used for time. English, we have one word. Problem with English language, sometimes we have one word when we should have a number. And other languages sometimes explain it better, don't they, Pauline? But chronology is one. That means the passage of time, the time on the clock. 2026, the year is somewhere in the timeline of history. But then there's also the Greek word kairos, which means the appointed time. So, for example, Jesus declared concerning his coming crucifixion when they couldn't kill him early because he said, "My time has not yet come." Not his chronos, his kairos. Greek. The appointed time has not yet come. And so nothing can happen to Jesus unless the Father says so. And that will be the kairos. We could call it the psychologically correct moment, or not even that, more like the appointed time. We all have an appointed time. And this is to encourage you concerning, as I get to it, the matter of dealing with regret. And so he's made everything beautiful in its time. One writer says this about that verse. This highlights both our awareness of the eternal. He's put eternity in our hearts, the scripture goes on to say. And yet no one can find out the work that God has from beginning to end. There's something far greater than we can understand. And so this writer says this highlights both our awareness that there's something far greater, the eternal. We're eternal people. We're living forever. And my advice is come to know Jesus so you live with him forever, as Pastor Dads was declaring to us. It highlights our awareness of the eternal, but also it highlights our limitation in grasping God's sovereignty over all things. Because we want to work it out. And we have to agree ultimately over your life, over my life, God is in control. Amen? And we may suffer some things in this current time, and maybe we should expect life will not be perfect since Jesus has not yet returned. If it was, there would be no need for him to die and no need for him to return. So I kind of take sufferings as something I don't like, but something which is part of what it is we live in now. If that was not the case, we'd all be perfectly healthy. We wouldn't be aging. We'd have no trouble. The relationships would be beautiful and things would be perfect. But we live in the light of the kingdom to come, and that makes things perfect for us now in our hearts. Amen? So there's two kinds of regret. There's always a subtle regret comes with this time thing I've observed. We place ourselves in time, we count our days. We even have birthday celebrations, and on birthdays we say, "Congratulations! Why are you congratulating me on my birthday? Congratulating me because I stayed alive or what?" But, we're congratulating the Lord really for bringing us onto this earth. We count our days. We have birthday celebrations. We concern ourselves as life goes on, and the number of years available to us seemingly becomes less. I mean, I'm getting up there now, beyond the average. But I still feel the same inside. And then I began to wonder to myself, and I'm going to come back to this in a minute, is there time to do everything that's in my heart? I'll come back to that, because a lot of people think like that, particularly when we get a little older. But we don't need to think like that. But firstly, just to paint a bigger picture, and not linger on this, because this is not my main message, but we often have regret over past actions, yeah? So this is a little bit outside of the time thing, and then I want to get to the regret over time. You know, I think all of us, either we remember what we were and what we could have become if we never met Jesus. And does anybody ever have that? Sometimes you just have a remembrance that says, why was I ever like that? Time is too short to be angry with each other. Time is too short to be keeping long accounts. Time is too short to regret over every lost opportunity. And there's a difference, you see, when we all could look at things we've done, or the way we've been, or opportunities lost. We need to distinguish between godly sorrow and worldly sorrow. I had a couple come to me once, a couple not by marriage, but by aspiration or habit. And they'd got themselves into a certain kind of fix morally. And they came and confessed to us as pastors, who was their leaders, which was great. But then I began to see a little pattern, which often we see. They were more sorry they'd been found out than they were for offending the Lord. And that's something we have to deal with in life, because if we're only sorry for being found out, and once we've said, oh, we never say you're only human, that's offending God's human creation. Blame sin. But then we can come into this worldly sorrow. And worldly sorrow does not lead to repentance. Worldly sorrow only wants to be affirmed. Please just tell me you still love me. Well, of course we still love you, and God loves you. He loves you a lot. He just doesn't like what you're doing. Love doesn't mean we can do any old thing, does it? But then we come into this worldly sorrow, which will only bring on a cycle of shame, because we never get out of it. And, you know, some societies and some cultures are very shame orientated, actually. So they'll be, you know, I look at some countries, I think it's wonderfully how cohesive the nation is. And yet they're not even Christians by and large, but it's the shame culture will keep behaviors in check. But that doesn't make us feel any better about life or be better people. Because ultimately, only Jesus can. Godly sorrow leads to repentance. And repentance, my friends, is not a bad word. It's a great word. Repentance means we turn away from self and the world, and we turn toward Jesus. The essence is not so much a turning away from sin. The essence is in turning toward the Lord. If we turn toward the Lord, we're facing the other way from our sin. Are you with me? So it's not so negative, it's actually a blessing. And if there's godly sorrow, and therefore a turning to Jesus, there can be healing and victory and a new life. Amen? And so what we find there is that we never forget. I always say, and I'm not a physiologist, but unless our brain cells are burnt out, we will never forget. We always remember. And so we should. If we don't remember, we might just not learn. Amen? But the thing is, when God has brought His healing grace on our lives, that event no longer controls us. We remember, but it doesn't disable us. Amen? That's regret over past actions or current actions even. But in particular today, just as I move my way through to a conclusion in a few, maybe 10 minutes, regret over apparent lost opportunity. This is quite a big thing. Regret over apparent lost opportunity. We are called by the Scripture, by God, to redeem the time, are we not? Ephesians tells us this: "For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. See then you walk circumspectly," that means wisely, "not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time." So we cannot save time, because time is a finite amount. God has created it. You can save butterflies. That's not the message yet. Keep listening. You can save money. You can save books. You can save things that are your hobby. You can save fishing rods. You can save photographs to remind you of your fishing, to impress people. Drones. You can save drones. But you cannot save time, my friends. I know people say we're saving time. Well, you don't save time. What I've said now is now in the past, and is a finite amount of it. So that's why the Bible says, redeem the time. Redeem means to get the money off it. It's like a credit card, or you get a voucher from a company or a shop, a voucher, redeem, R-E-D-E-E-M, redeem. You get a voucher, and it allows you to have $10 worth of coffees for free. But you have to take the card and go to the shop, and they will stamp it. Every time I get a haircut, which is no big effort for them these days, I get $5 after five haircuts. I have to go back and get a discount. Redeem it. So time is like that. Time is like God has given us a card with a finite amount of time, and we're to use it wisely for the sake of the kingdom. You know, recently Virginia and I had a visit from a dear younger friend from the church, who'd been with us for 30 years, I guess. And she'd been through a lot of difficulties in her life, and things she was trying to get free of, and with great pain and difficulty, and nevertheless she's still there. And she's such her gift is, I don't want to give her away by even saying what her gift is, but she's got an extremely highly developed artistic gift. And she came to us because we've exhorted her over all these years. And she said, "I feel I have to see you and apologize. Here I am now in my 50s, and I've never fully done or with the gift of God what I should have done. Regret over lost opportunity." Are you with me? Now, all of us can be like that to one degree or another. There's a lot of things that I've got on the go. I would have been finished a long time ago, you know, if I'd got onto it earlier and persevered and finished. I'm a bit of a fan for finishing something, but I got so many interests, I get started, and hobbies never last long for me. I like to find out about things, you know. Any case, that's not so much the point. Regret over wasted time or lost opportunity. Wasted time. But here's the message for today, my friends: it is never too late. Now let me use my own heart condition just a little bit for you, if that's okay. I've got so many things on the go now with the churches in the South Island, and now we've got Pastor Emmanuel joining. You met Pastor Manny Santiago, and he's joined LCI now. And you met him here, or some of you would have, when he did his testimony, I think. And his dear wife, Elizabeth, who's Luis's sister. And now I was having a Zoom meeting, or a video meeting with him yesterday. He was fishing. Dad's joined a meeting with his hat on and his rod in his hand, and it was great. But he's now got four other churches in the process of joining. This is our wider family. And actually, Green Bay, let me say this, because I haven't talked to the elders fully yet, Green Bay will have a major part in that. let alone Life Church International. I got all the churches in the South Island. The more I go on, I see the greater the need. Things that I never used to see, now I see. And I said, Lord, I got books to finish. I got things to rewrite. I wake up in the night with something else I'd like to do. And here I am in this age. Is there enough time? And then I got greatly encouraged because one of my friends came and told me about the monarch butterfly. And here's the thing about the monarch butterfly. Who likes to hear about this is a biological miracle. You probably know about it already. You do. So don't say it now. Don't spoil my story now. You do. Good on you. Every teacher should know. Do you know? Oh, good. Chin doesn't know. That's fine. I'll talk to Chin. Let me inform you then about the monarch butterfly. The monarch butterfly normally lives between 2 and 6 weeks. That's the usual lifespan of the monarch butterfly. But there's a special, and if there's a term for it, I guess, late season migratory generation. The generation that has to migrate away to another climate and come back in the spring. You know how animals do that, or birds, and butterflies do it too. This migratory generation, which is not a different monarch butterfly, and strangely enough, even in science, often referred to as the Methuselah generation. You remember Methuselah, the oldest living man in the Bible, lived about 900 years. So even the scientists call this generation, the migratory generation, the Methuselah generation. And this generation that migrates and has to come back needs to come back to reproduce. So the migratory generation will live between 6 and 9 months. It's a bit like if I lived to 100 years and I was of the migratory generation and the same rules applied, then if I was the last generation, I'd live to about 700 years. But that's not how it works for humans. But it does tell me that there's and this is called reproductive diapause. Essentially, what happens is the monarch butterfly goes into a state of suspended aging. Now you might think, where's he going with this? I seem to remember Abraham and Sarah had the promised child outside of the normal years of childbearing. So this is not the same biology we're talking about. But we are talking about the Lord God Almighty, who has our times in his hands. And my encouragement to you is this. We may not be like the monarch butterfly, and we might not be able to do our math and live to 900 years old. Who would want to anyway? Jesus hopefully will be returned long before then. But I have come to a place of great confidence. Whatever God has for me to finish, he'll give me time to finish before I go. Now, I know that was a long way round to say that, but only to say that God is a God of miracles. God is a God who oversees biological processes in a manner that nobody, they might describe it, but they can't tell us how it works. How does the same butterfly as the last generation live that much longer? Only because God has designed for it to be that way, it intervenes in the processes. And I'm quite confident, my friends, that you and I, if you have any form of regret as time goes on over lost opportunity, sometimes we look at our families and we think the kids are growing up. I'm thankful that God has blessed us and I think whatever our faults, God has done a great job with us. But I do see families that need to be restored. And we go through and they get older and they seem to be more distant. And the possibilities of restoration seem more unlikely. And yet I believe it's never too late. because he's made and can make all things beautiful in his time. Admittedly, it takes two to reconcile. So do what you can, as the Apostle Paul said, as far as it is up to you, live at peace with all men. I can't control everybody else. Their decisions will be their decisions, and they will reap what they sow, for good or for bad. But isn't that exciting, my friends, that what seems like I've left it too late? I don't believe it's ever too late. I'm getting more confident about that. You know, if I felt to, I once started to do Virginia says don't go down there. Right, I won't. You see, it's a subtle sign. I'll bore you. That's the only reason she's saying that, because she loves me. This is the point, my friends. Don't let the clock dictate your life. Don't let the calendar dictate your life. You know, I look back at my life now, and because I was in business and commercial world for some years. I've been doing this for so long, I can't remember when. And I look back now, if I could only go and do that job again, I would be so cool. I'd be so good at it. I think of all the things I should have done and the way I should have organized things and related to people and management and other places. I think of it now. If I could have done it back then. But I can't go back. But there are ways of bringing the learning to bear for the here and the now. And I'm quite confident. I'm standing here as a confident man. If God needs me for another 50 years, Virginia is looking quite serious because she's all for going quickly. I'm all for good for staying. So we got a bit of a problem here because at the same time, I say I want us to go together because I couldn't live without her. See, no feeling at all. She says, you got Jesus. Well, I'm thankful for Jesus, but I need you. But also, you don't want to be without me, right? Because I'm the techie one. Not very techie, but at least I can fix things. But no, the point is, that's my desire. I'd love us just to sort of fade off in the night together. That would be pretty cool. Don't you think, Dads? That's the way to go. Having said that, so we have this disagreement. So until that's resolved, I guess we'll stay alive. But I'm very confident, too, that I'm not panicking in the least over all the needs and the things that I see with the churches and the wider mission in a crazy old world and a nation that needs more church life and more good Christians, more disciples. We've got plenty of Christians. We just need some disciples. People who call themselves Christian but live in the old kind of way. It's not going to work. So much to do, but I'm confident, Len. You should be confident that whatever we need to, even if we have to retrace some steps, it's never too late. Amen. And the Lord will give us time. So what's the butterfly got to do with this? The same thing he did with Abraham and Sarah. He can intervene in our lives and keep us healthy and strong and sound of mind, even if our knees go, until we've accomplished what he's given for us to accomplish. And after all, you and I are only one small part of everything we have to accomplish. Our old pastor's wife, Pastor Bev, she used to say, everybody needs to learn.
Can you read it, please?
Oh, yes, of course. This is Pastor Dad's is going out the door, not because he's got sick of the message. It is now the appointed time for me, age 70, to go to work. He's been called up. God bless you, Dads. She used to say we need to learn and be careful that all we do in life is fill our inch. That's a bit of a mysterious saying. An inch is a measure, 2.25 centimeters. An inch, old English measure, right? In other words, God has given us something, not everything. Our centimeter. Make sure, my friends, we fill our centimeter. And he'll give us time for that. Amen? And then I know, because somebody will come and tell me as I come to a close, sometimes things don't work out the way they seem to think we should have they work out. I have to trust the Lord for that too. Amen? So be encouraged. It's a great day to be alive. We've got a great work to do. we're building the walls, rebuilding the walls. And when the devil comes along and says, who are you? It's another message for another day. Read Nehemiah. Who do you think you are doing all of that? Come down and join us. We've got a better way. And we'll look at them and we'll say to the devil, we cannot come down, for we're out about a great work. And that's how it is for our lives. We cannot come down because we're about a great work. And I'll labor, and I'm not retiring anytime soon. We'll keep going with the strength God gives us until we fill our centimeter. Amen? Why don't we stand? Let me pray, and then we will. Jeremy's going to lead us, I think. Thank you, Pastor Jeremy. That's great. And so glad to be here. Pastor Daz will be back next week speaking about contentment, and then after that we have Celebration Sunday. And then the week after that we have my good friend, a young man who's halfway through his theology now, Julio Segura from Colombia, will be here to give his testimony and bring the word. So we're looking forward to that, and we keep pressing on. Amen. Father, in the name of Jesus, why don't you lift your hands to the Lord, place your hand upon your heart, and even for that this would become a very real word to us, that God is about redeeming the time over us and making all things beautiful in His time. Amen? And also for the physical healing that's needed, I just think of my brother Peter there, and doesn't complain, but nevertheless, the body needs some strengthening. And so we pray, even as we're praying, think the whole wonderful salvation work of God for healing and forgiveness, for the healing of the body, for strengthening, and for even confidence for the days you're in and the days ahead. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray blessing over every brother and sister in this place. And Lord, may it be that the Spirit of Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, the great shepherd, come upon those that need to retrace some steps, and to the extent that it's up to them, Father, with trust in you, to bring some word of forgiveness or restoration, let it be. And for all those, Father, with a vision that you've created in their hearts that is yet to be fulfilled, and seemingly it may be running out of time, I pray, Father, for great confidence to come into their hearts right now. A wonderful sense of your presence, my God. A wonderful sense of your glory over their lives, and the confidence to know, Lord, that you will extend the time for them to be able to achieve what you desire so much for them to achieve. Lord, let it be for the church. We'll be an extended people, Lord, to reach this community, to do some things that you put on our hearts to do, no matter how difficult it may seem, and to see this place, Green Bay Life Church, as a place that is a fascination to the world out there that doesn't know how to live. Lord, we pray for it. We thank you for it. And my friends, there's not one person amongst you, don't hear this just for your neighbor, that is not worthy in the sight of the Lord for his compassion, his love, and his healing grace. Lord, I pray it. I thank you for it. In your mighty name, Jesus. Amen. Amen.